Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. My co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated. We are so excited to have you join us tonight. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. If this is your first time tuning into the show, we thank you so very much. If you are one of our longtime listeners, we thank you as well. We are just so excited when we hear from you. So continue to send posts and questions about the broadcast or any of the information that we share with you, because we always come with interesting conversations, Veronica and I, and we want to be just the encourager to the community, to bring you information, to help you with wherever you are in your areas of business and finance in the nonprofit world. We want to be the go-to for you. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women, their families, and we want to help you through the Micro Nonprofit Network and Issues Concerning Women become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations, and also for small businesses. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference. So, again, we thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Just always excited. I hope wherever you are, it is beautiful. We are in Virginia Beach, Virginia, but you know we're all over the world. So we get the great opportunity just to share what's going on in our side of the world, but also be in tune to everything that's going on around us. Tonight I wanted to share a poem with you that I found in this poem, Hope for Tomorrow. And before I even read the poem, the first line says, never lose your hope for tomorrow, no matter what is going on today. And the poem is written by Charles S. Poling, P-O-L-I-N-G. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Hope for tomorrow. There's never a road but has an end, and every long day has its close. And all must say goodbye to a friend, and the frost must blight the rose. There's always an end to laughter and always an end to tears, winter. But spring will come after, and youth must grow old with the years. And even the rainbow that mantles the storm, it's destined to pass from your view. After the dark of the night is put paging the morn, and at the end is a door to the new. So hope for tomorrow, dredge on with a song. There's work for your hands to do. Don't border over the past and the things that are gone. Life's best lies ahead of you. I thought that was quite interesting, the words that he chose for this poem. And it just lets you know that every road must come to an end, and no matter what you're going through, that there is always hope for tomorrow as long as you rise up in the morning and find that one thing that can encourage you and keep you going. So tonight my question to you is, what motivates you and what keeps you going? As we look at where we are as a society and as a community, we know that so much is going on. So I just want to encourage you to keep that hope for tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't change it. Don't even fret about tomorrow. Live today and know that whatever it is, it will be okay. because you always get another opportunity to do it again each and every day. And so my co-host, Veronica McMillan, is here tonight, so I want to bring her on. Good evening, Veronica. How are you?
Good evening, Francine, on this hot Thursday. I am fine.
Yes,
how about yourself?
I am doing just fine. I was just reading a poem called Hope for Tomorrow. I ran across it by accident, and I was just saying that, you know, every day we get a new opportunity. What I'm saying in a nutshell is to do whatever you can do, be encouraged, and always know that as long as we get up and we have breath in our bodies, that today we can do whatever has been ordained for us to do. And so I kind of wanted to start with that because I know there's so much devastation going on all over the country again, as, you know, it has been for the last year and a half. It just seems like it's just one thing after the other. So I wanted to bring some words of encouragement and to also let our audience know that our prayers and thoughts and anything that we can do to just encourage those people who are in Florida looking for their loved ones who are buried and all of that from the collapse of that building. It's just so unbelievable that that happened and that they are still looking for their loved ones. So it's really sad. Every time I see it, it's just really sad. And so tonight, Veronica, I just wanted you to, as we come on, to just give some words of encouragement to our audience, and then we'll move on to the program. Can you hear me, Veronica? Okay, it seems like I have lost her, but she'll be back. She'll dial back in. Great, great, great. So tonight, as we think about where we are, and as Veronica can ask her to log back in, because I'm not able to hear her. Her mic is still on, but can't hear her. And so, as you know, anytime that there's a storm going on all around us, sometimes we have this technical difficulty over here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, but you know what? It's all good, and so we will continue to do what we do. As we are looking at where we are, we have come such a long way, but we still have so far to go. And I don't know if you've heard, but in the state of Virginia, they have legalized marijuana as of today. But, of course, there are some stipulations to that legalization. So I definitely want anyone who's indulging to know what they're doing and what they have to do in order to keep themselves safe and to stay out of trouble, because we can easily get into trouble. And so we don't want that to happen to any of you. So we want you to know what the rules and regulations are. And so that this is new for all of us. And so when we're looking at what is going on in society, we know that we have to be up on whatever is going on. So we have to know the rules. We have to follow them. I understand that you can have an ounce on your person, but you cannot smoke it, marijuana in the car. And I also understand that you can grow 4 plants in your home, but you cannot buy any seeds. So if anyone is going to indulge, then they definitely need to know what's going on. So, hey, Veronica.
Hey, Francine, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Wow, I don't know what the world happened there, but.
Yeah, it's, you know, anytime there's a storm coming near the area, sometimes we do have that technical difficulty. That's why we tell the people, if we hang up, we'll call you, you know, we'll be back, you know, so just hang on. And because that happens from time to time, because I guess where the towers are. So I was telling the audience that in Virginia, marijuana has become legal as of this morning. And so I was also saying, just please be careful, know the laws. You can't just go around just walking down the street puffing. You have to know what the rules are. You have to play by the rules. And one of the things that I found interesting, I was saying while you were reconnecting, is that you cannot smoke it in your car. You cannot buy seeds, but you can have 4 plants. So I don't know how you're going to have the plants if you can't buy the seeds. But then I was listening today, and they were saying that somebody could give you seeds. But if that person gives you seeds, then where did that person get them from? Because you supposedly you can't buy them. So it's just a mystery to me, Veronica.
Yeah, it's a ball of confusion. That's exactly what this is. This is just a ball of confusion because I even think that Governor Ralph Northam just basically rushed through. I don't know the reason why. Again, you know, I believe everything is about money, and this is where we are, and I think it's just so much confusion in all of this, and then unfortunately the people that are going to suffer are going to be, you know, the disenfranchised, those that basically are minorities, and those that just basically are in a situation where they abuse stuff. And so, unfortunately, I think that we're going to be in a really crazy spot for a minute because there's just so much confusion around that. So, anyhow, that's my 2 cents worth on all that, Francine.
Yes, absolutely. And so I just thought it was because, you know, and maybe the audience doesn't know, but my background is paralegal law. So I'm always interested to see how they write these things. Mm-hmm. And then I also look at the underlining parts that you don't really think about or they didn't really think about. So now if a person is, you can't smoke it in your car. But if they pull you over and they smell it, what are they going to do? Are they still going to arrest you? Are they going to give you a citation? So it's all kinds of things, like you said, Veronica, a ball of confusion, because it wasn't thought out as far as I'm concerned. I know that Governor Northam, his term is going to be up in November. And, you know, so I don't know if that's the political move to get some of these things done before he leaves. I don't. And he's a doctor. So, you know, everything has its good points and bad points. Some people need marijuana for their cataracts and for their nervous conditions, you know, and things in their body that they need it for, so they don't have to take a whole lot of medication. And then, like you said, some people are going to abuse it. They're going to, you can't buy it, but people have been selling marijuana since I can't remember.
Oh, my God. Marijuana been here forever and a day, and it's going to be here. So, you know, it's just it's like, crazy that you know, that
like
we
alcohol.
Are.
And so, you know, some regulations are going to come because if we live in America, they're going to have to capitalize on the sale of marijuana. And, you know, we know they already are for those who have those stores and they're selling and selling brownies and gummies and whatever else they're selling, because, you know, people tell me about it because I haven't, you know, experienced it in this day and time. But I also know, again, we have to be so careful about what we do, especially as African-American and minority community, because the rules are always different for us.
Exactly.
The thing that I really smiled when I kind of chuckled, they interviewed a young man today. He was sitting in his backyard, and he was not African-American or a minority, and he lit up his marijuana cigarette, I guess is what you call it, and he was being interviewed right on television. That's fine. But you know somebody else can't do that. You know? So just, again, people, just be careful. Just know what you're doing. Don't end up in court or getting arrested because you thought you knew exactly what was going on. So, you know, that's my 2 cents worth. And so I'm going to leave that alone. For the whole 30 minutes with that one. And especially because of the legalization of it. It's still a drug, so you have to just be careful. And so I wanted you today, Veronica, to, because I started out with a poem of hope, to say some words of encouragement, because I was talking about the devastation in Florida, the families who are still looking for their loved ones, and it's all, and we know that things, tragedies happen every day. People lose their lives. We understand that. But when they're coming so frequently, it just, you just have to pause and just encourage others. So if you can say some words of encouragement to our audience, that would be great.
Yeah. Before we got cut off and I had to go and run to my landline, praise God for having landline phones still. I was going to just continue to hold on. You know what I mean? It's always the darkest before the light, and that there is something that's going on, Francine. I don't necessarily know what that something is, but something is on the horizon. I think when we look at the gun violence and the deaths from gun violence is growing up across the country, and then to see the rubble from that building and people holding out hope, thinking and praying that their loved ones would be still alive under that much cement and rhubarb and all of that stuff that's there. So to be on that side where we can look and be praying for them is a blessing in and of itself. And so no matter what you're going through, you just have to just believe, trust, and keep hope alive. That was Jesse Jackson's big thing, but definitely keeping hope alive that regardless of whatever that you're going through, you're still on this side of life. And that's a blessing to be alive. And no matter what you're going through, it seemed like my life in the last couple of weeks and stuff with craziness is just amplified. And all I can do is just say, God, you know what? My hope and trust is in you. And I have 100% guaranteed that I'm going to come out on the other side of this better and greater than when I went in. And so I think that is what we have to hold on to, that we are on this side of life, Francine, and that no matter what is going on, God still has that plan for us, and he certainly hasn't called us home right now. So we just trust God, and we believe God that's going to bring us out of this situation and bring them out of those situations. And even in that situation where all of that is going on, we believe that there is going to be a brighter day for them. So stay encouraged and be encouraged.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I know that whoever hears what you just said will really appreciate it, because sometimes we kind of glaze by and glaze over things, and we don't just take that minute to pause and say, thank you, I'm still here. I don't know my own destination, whether it be today, tomorrow, or whenever, but I do know that as long as I'm here and as long as I get up and as long as the breath of life is blown into my body every single day, I get another chance to do it right. If I need to do a do-over, I get another chance to apologize to someone. I get another chance to pray for someone. I just get another chance to just be a part of this world that we live in, and good, bad, or indifferent, we're still here. Just like you said, we're the other side. We don't know when that's going to come, but we're still here. And it's just, to me, so much devastation, and it's just unbelievable to me. I was going to Norfolk, and for those who are, not in this area, I'm about 30 minutes from Norfolk. And yesterday, me and my husband were driving, and we saw an older man standing on the corner with his sign saying that he was hungry. And he was so frail, he could hardly stand up. And Veronica, I'm going to tell you, girl, it just broke my heart. And so we went back because the traffic was flowing so heavy, we couldn't get to him, but we went back today to see could we find him, to get him something to eat or give him some, whatever we could have done, but he wasn't there. Veronica, he could hardly stand up, and it just broke my heart. And I'm like, man, what can we do? Yeah. How can we make it better? How can we help? And I just, I don't have an answer. I just know we do what we do. And we know every issue we are not going to be able to touch, even though this is Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. We're not going to be able to touch every issue. But it has to be something better than what we're seeing. And we know it's going to get worse, because the mandate is going to be switched back to July the 31st. And for people to, happen to start to move and, find other places to live. And if they can't find anywhere to live, they're going to be out in the street.
Right.
And it's just unbelievable to me. And the city of Norfolk, Virginia Beach, all the cities, Portsmouth, Chesapeake, there are so many empty buildings that are owned by the city and state. And, this is just me talking, and we're just having this conversation.
Right.
I don't understand why some of those doors aren't being opened for our homeless population instead of putting them on the ground, putting them in a building. I know that it would take staff and it would take, people who can deal with the homeless and mental health issues. I know that. But we have money for stuff that don't make sense. Why don't we have money for things that make sense? And then I was, I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to let Veronica talk. I was on a call yesterday with some, I guess I can call them associates and people who are in different industries. And one of the industries, they were talking about the veterans. And she said she was in charge of the veterans housing program. And I was listening to her talk, and you know, and I'm not going to call anybody's name or whatever city she was in. She wasn't in Norfolk, but she was in another city. And she was just telling about, you know, how great the programs are. And I wanted to scream at her. Because I know there are so many veterans who don't have homes. I can go, I can drive right over there now where they are. Why don't they have places to stay? And so and I'm going to get off my soapbox, but it just... was so heartbreaking yesterday. I don't know if that man was a veteran or not, but I know he was so frail. It was hot as fire yesterday. He should not have been standing out in the sun. His skin was baked because he's been out there. But he may live in the woods. I don't know, you know. But we just, I just know in my heart of hearts that we have to do better. Not necessarily that, you know, I can do anything about it, but I can surely speak about it. And hopefully somebody will hear. All right, Miss Veronica, that's, I'm done with that. So tell us all about your program that you had on the 18th. How did it go with the mental health and the police? I want to hear about that.
Oh, yeah, that was a wonderful conversation. We were touching upon some of the stuff that you mentioned in your moment there where you were just sharing from your heart. We talked about that whole mental health piece because it's not just one thing that's going to solve this, and that was one of the things that you know, we dialogued about in our conversation in terms of this mental health thing. But it requires, it goes back to the old school where it takes a village, where you knew the people in your community. It requires literally everybody doing something, you know what I mean? I think that what happens is we're looking for agencies to do stuff, and we have removed the neighbor next door just to do a little something, and that person, because you literally could have block upon block of people saying, hey, this month we're going to do this. And everybody comes together to do that. I think that's what's missing. We're missing what we grew up with when the community, where you literally knew people five streets over from your home. You really almost knew everybody in your community, whether they were the old guy that was drinking on the side, riding on the bicycle, to the person who had the business. You knew them, and I believe that we're going to have to get back to that. So anyhow, that was part of the discussion that, you know, we had with mental health and the mental health professionals and the police. And then, of course, we're going to launch the Kids Academy program in August, the Kids Law Academy in August, because we really want to introduce kids to the law enforcement career, but we want to do that, or excuse me, profession early, but we also want them to understand that they're more than just, in terms of law enforcement as a profession, it's more than just police, you know what I mean? And I think we have to get that and then move beyond that fear of, you know, blacks wanting to be a part of law enforcement because they see what's going on in their in the community, and we have to acknowledge in our community we got a problem. And we talk about Black Lives Matter. We know that Black Lives Matter, but do Black Lives Matter to us, that we're That's in our right. communities and things are going on literally. People are screaming from the rooftops about what's going on in their communities and the violence and all of that stuff, and we're seeing our black boys kill another black boy or a black man kill another black man. So we got to do something with that, Francine. So I believe that we got to figure out how do we do that, and I'm hoping with our program we can address some of these issues in a creative, innovative way from the voices of youth. And then finally in August we're doing the nonprofit banquet. I'm so super excited excited about this. People have gotten their letters and all of that stuff, and and that they've received those. And I can't wait. I'm just praying to God for that everything goes right, because I really want to honor these leaders in the community. We just want to shower them with love and to let them know that we see you, small though you may be, but mighty you are. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And then I am with a group of nonprofits. A young lady basically wanted to do the nonprofit anthology, and I'm talking about, you know, my road to the nonprofit and why I got into the nonprofit in that book. And that was something that came just out of nowhere. I've been wanting to something about nonprofits forever and a day. I started a book project probably about 5-6 years ago. The young lady ran away with my money, and I never heard anything back from her. And so I said, "Lord, let me just sow that." So that is what's going on. And I never thought I really had put that to a side. And when I was asked about this and inquired more about it, I just took the leap of faith and say, "Yep, let me do a little part of this and have my piece of why I got into the nonprofit world as a part of this book anthology." So that's kind of what's going on right now, Francine, on in my neck of the woods. And I'm just so glad that you know, we are being impactful to our communities.
Absolutely. And when will the book be ready?
Well, I think we're working on it. I think there are 7 nonprofits that are part of this.
Okay.
And I believe that the book will be ready sometime maybe November, somewhere like that, because we're all writing our chapters now and all of that stuff. But, yep, that's where we are right now.
Okay, that is so – I'm so excited. I can't wait. So congratulations, and congratulations on all the wonderful programs that you're doing and bringing light to some of the dark areas like the mental health piece and the policing. That's something that we know is going to take some policies, procedures, and practices because, again, as African-Americans, you know, it's a disadvantage to us because a lot of these things are not getting addressed. And I think I mentioned it since somebody asked me to write a bill, and I said, and I'll say it again, I don't mind writing a bill, but I need somebody to help me that know how to write a bill, you know.
Exactly.
I can write what I feel, and I can write what I and I can express myself very well. I don't have a problem doing that or articulating what I want to say, but it has to be a bill that will have policies and procedures and practices that are going to help the disadvantaged people. Mm-hmm. So if it's not going to do that, then what's the point in doing it? If we have bills, they write bills all day long and get them passed, and nobody don't even know what they are, you know. But we definitely need to make sure that we are engaging in activities that are going to help the community, and not just one part of the community, but the whole community.
Right.
And I really like what you said, Veronica, about getting back to – sometimes it's just as simple as getting back to the basics, getting to know your neighbor, being a lending a helping hand. I remember a few weeks ago, it's probably been a few months now, when it first started getting warm, our lawnmower, we have a riding lawnmower, so it wouldn't run. And so we called somebody to cut our grass, but they couldn't get their big machine through our gate. So they couldn't do it. And our neighbor, who we never hardly even talked to, came over and asked my husband, did he want to borrow the lawnmower? And just out of the blue, because he never talked to us. We're not, like, friendly to each other. We said, you might say, if you look him dead in the eye, you might say hi. But if he's looking down and I'm in the car getting groceries out, I'm not breaking my neck to speak to him. And I know that's just because we've become accustomed to that. You know, I don't really have to speak to you. I don't have to know you. Now my neighbor on the other side, they're good neighbors. When we go out of town, we watch each other's houses. We put his trash cans back. That sort of thing, but we know that everybody's not doing that. And that, and just to share that, that's the perfect example of if your neighbor needs something, are you willing to offer a helping hand? And you, as you talked about back in the day when somebody didn't have their rent money, we had a rent party.
Oh, yeah.
We sold chicken wings and macaroni and cheese, potato salad plates, you know, made cakes. And I remember my grandmother doing that so many times. And we put that money together for that person would not get put out. And most of the time it was a single mom with kids to make sure she stayed in place. We don't do that anymore. So if she gets put out, we see her stuff out on the front, and we go, oh,
that's
no,
it.
She got put out, you know. And that's right. all we have to say, you know. And but mm-hmm. it's just amazing to me how we've changed so much, and that something has to change. You know, there's no better time to be African American and me black in America than today. While, you know, this is true, we still have a long way to go before there is equal opportunity for all. So we just have to remember who we are. And, Veronica, we have, like, 60 seconds. So just tell how they can get in touch with you. And then we're going to end the show tonight.
Yes, you can email me at info@themicrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can just go to our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org.
And for me, it is issuesconcerningwomen.org or icwdirector@gmail.com. We have come to the end of another show. I know I was just spewing all over the place today, but happy 4th of July weekend for those who are celebrating. You know, we just had Juneteenth. Some folks are celebrating, some are not. So whether you're celebrating, if you get some time off, enjoy it, relax, get some rest, and you know we're going to be right back at it next week. So, Veronica, have a great weekend. To our
you
audience,
too.
Thank you so much. All right, now,
now
we'll see you next Thursday. Take care now. Bye-bye.